One Sunday morning, a man went to church with his wife. That sounds really unusual, doesn't it? But it was the first time this gentleman had been to church in a long time. And he didn't think to turn off his cell phone before the service began. And so you know what happened. In the middle of the pastoral prayer, his phone went off. And he was embarrassed, as was his wife. Many of the parishioners glared in his direction as he fumbled to shut off the ringer. After the service, the pastor spoke to him about the interruption, clearly annoyed, and on the way home, his wife couldn't stop complaining, and he never went to that church again. But the next morning, on his way to work, he stopped at a newly opened coffee shop in town. He had a few minutes before work, so he sat down at a table to read the morning newspaper, and when he reached for his coffee cup, he bumped it, spilling coffee across the table and onto the floor. And one of the servers noticed and helped him wipe up the table and the floor. And the owner brought him a second cup of coffee. And when he tried to pay for it, she simply said, "It's on the house. Don't we all deserve a second chance?" And now he goes to the coffee shop before work every single morning. And he finds a grace and a peace in his coffee, which that church experience didn't give him. Throughout this worship series, I have focused on the work of the Spirit in us, bringing us new life, new hope, new ways of being. As this series draws to its close, I remind you that our Christian life comes with a responsibility, and that responsibility is to model the grace of God and embody the peace that Christ has made possible for us. The reading today from Ephesians is addressed to a fledgling church the Apostle Paul started. He made two visits to that city. On his second visit, he remained as a teacher and a mentor for 3 years. Ephesus remains to this day a significant port on the Aegean Sea in the modern nation of Turkey. In Paul's day, it boasted a magnificent temple to the goddess Artemis, the Odeon, a performance hall, a library, a marketplace, and many government buildings. Its residents came from across the known world. Culturally, ethnically, historically, the city was very different from ancient Israel, a fact alluded to in the letter with these words. Remember that at that time you were excluded from citizenship in Israel. But all that changed, the letter indicates, at least religiously, because of Jesus the Christ. Those distinctions of culture and ethnicity, those markers that determined whether one belonged, like circumcision, those are external. And Jesus demonstrated that those external things are not important in God's kingdom. It's what's inside of us that matters. And our fellowship in Christ brings us into communion with the Holy Spirit, which is God dwelling within us. That is what makes for peace between us and God. That should be what makes for peace between us and our fellow human beings. Our evening book group has been reading some Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a 20th century German Lutheran priest and theologian. He was part of the Confessing Church movement in the 1930s, which pushed back against the mainline Lutheran Church's nationalistic fervor and its complicity with the rise of the Nazi Party. Bonhoeffer said that the gift of God's grace must change us, change how we live our lives and how we treat one another. Otherwise, we cheapen the costly gift of grace. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he writes, "Judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil, to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. If, when we judged others, our real motive was to destroy evil, we should look for evil where it is certain to be found, and that is in our own hearts. The disciple is not to sit in judgment over his fellow man because he would wrongly usurp the jurisdiction." That illustration I began with about the cell phone that rings at inopportune times and coffee cups that get spilled, those are small things to worry about, really. But those two examples are of small events that belie a greater ethos. If you can't tolerate one little mistake, like a phone ringing when it shouldn't, what does that say about the environment you live in? And if you can replace a spilled cup of coffee and help clean up the spill, what does that say about the climate you create? The letter to the Ephesians tells us the climate has already been created for us through Christ, a climate of peace, of reconciliation, of life, and of responsibility. And I think the author of this letter would weep for the climate in the United Methodist Church today. And I don't mean this embodiment of the church. I mean our worldwide United Methodist Church today. You may recall I have spoken in the past about the issue at the heart of a debate in our worldwide Methodist Church, a debate that many of us, including myself, expect will end with a schism. Lines have been drawn among the people who call themselves United Methodists, lines that exclude some persons from full participation in the life of the church, namely those who identify as gay or lesbian or bisexual, as transgender or as queer. Those words have nothing to do with the grace of God dwelling in the heart of a believer, and yet those terms have been used to create division. Instead of the love and grace of Jesus abiding within each of us and among all of us, allowing us to listen and understand one another, love for God and for living a godly path has been turned into a tool used to judge others. Instead of living together in peace, the lines of division are becoming walls. If the worldwide conference is able to meet next year, it's already been postponed twice because of COVID, it is widely expected that our denomination will vote to allow a split to take place, and the two sides will part ways, including clergy, including whole congregations and church buildings. And while I think that it probably is for the best that this split goes forward, I also think it makes God weep that we have failed in our responsibility to love one another with our whole hearts. And we have, in a sense, cheapened the gift of grace. How do we imagine ourselves, church? How do we imagine this expression as the Fly Creek United Methodist Church? Is this an environment where an out-of-place ringtone or a spilled cup of coffee is judged or is forgiven? Is this a place where lines that could create division are erected or dismantled? Is grace cheapened here? Which is to say, does it have no effect on us or our behavior? Or is this grace we have received freely given to all we meet? The words and the actions of Jesus are meant to knit us together as one, tearing down the dividing walls, destroying all the barriers that prevent us from loving fully and living completely. The responsibility is ours. We are to tend and to nurture this new creation the Spirit is bringing within us and among us. And just imagine what God can do when we give all of ourselves to this grace. Amen, church. Amen.